Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The War on Normal People by Andrew Yang is a timely argument about how economic change is colliding with everyday life in the United States. Written by a former entrepreneur and future presidential candidate, the book connects automation, artificial intelligence, and corporate consolidation to the quiet erosion of stable work, especially in communities outside major coastal hubs. Yang frames job loss not as a personal failure, but as a systemic shift in how value is created and captured, and he challenges the idea that traditional retraining alone can solve what is happening. He also critiques common economic indicators that can look healthy while families feel squeezed, pointing to social and health consequences that show up long before policymakers react. The centerpiece of his proposal is a universal basic income, positioned as a practical response to technological displacement and as a way to restore dignity, flexibility, and bargaining power to individuals. The book aims to be both diagnosis and blueprint for action. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, automation as a structural, not temporary, job shock. A core topic is Yang's claim that the United States is entering a sustained period of job displacement driven by automation and software, not a short cycle that will naturally correct. He points to sectors where technology steadily reduces the need for human labor, including retail checkout, call centers, logistics, manufacturing, and even parts of professional work. In his framing, the issue is not only robots in factories, but algorithms replacing routine decision-making, platforms compressing margins, and new tools allowing fewer workers to produce more output. That creates a wedge between productivity and wages, and makes many communities vulnerable when a single employer downsizes or relocates. Yang also argues that common narratives about people simply moving to new industries underestimate the speed and scale of disruption and the human cost of constant churn. He emphasizes that work provides identity, structure, and social connection, so job loss can trigger cascading harms beyond income. This topic sets up the book's broader argument: policy must treat automation as an ongoing reality that requires redesigning the social contract, not a problem that can be solved by waiting for the next round of jobs to appear. Secondly, the geography of decline and the human costs. Behind the data, another important theme is how economic change concentrates opportunity in a few metro areas while draining smaller cities and rural regions. Yang links disappearing jobs to visible community stress, including falling labor force participation, weakened local tax bases, strained public services, and increased social isolation. Rather than focusing only on national GDP or stock market performance, he argues for paying attention to lived indicators such as household stability, addiction, mental health, and community cohesion. In this view, economic policy that celebrates efficiency while ignoring displacement effectively writes off large parts of the country. Yang also critiques the idea that people can easily relocate for opportunity, noting barriers like housing costs, family obligations, uneven education access, and the loss of support networks. The topic underscores how a job market can appear strong while many individuals cycle through precarious work, debt, and insecurity. By emphasizing geography and social outcomes, the book reframes the discussion from abstract macroeconomics to community-level realities. This sets the stage for his policy proposals by arguing that the problem is widespread and deeply personal, not confined to a single industry or demographic group. Thirdly, universal basic income as a floor for dignity and mobility. The centerpiece proposal is a universal basic income, described as a regular cash payment to every adult with minimal conditions. Yang presents UBI as a way to provide a stable financial floor in an economy where work can be intermittent, wages can stagnate, and benefits are often tied to employers. He argues that cash is flexible and respects individual judgment, allowing people to cover essentials, handle emergencies, reduce stress, and make longer-term choices such as training, caregiving, or starting a small business. In the book's framing, a basic income can also strengthen bargaining power, making it easier for workers to refuse unsafe, abusive, or underpaid jobs because survival is not immediately at risk. Yang positions UBI as compatible with work rather than an incentive to stop working, suggesting it could increase productive activity by reducing scarcity and enabling entrepreneurship and family stability. He also uses the idea to broaden what society counts as valuable contribution, including parenting, volunteering, and community care that markets often underpay or ignore. This topic is presented as both a practical adaptation to automation and a moral statement about citizenship and dignity. Fourthly, funding and implementation. From value-added tax to simplified support, Yang devotes significant attention to how a basic income could be financed and administered at national scale. A key element often discussed around his plan is a value-added tax designed to capture a portion of the gains from automation and high-margin digital commerce that traditional taxation may miss. He argues that as technology increases productivity and concentrates profits, the tax system should better reflect where value is being created, and a broad consumption-based tax can do that while being difficult to avoid. The book also explores how UBI would interact with existing safety net programs, weighing simplicity against the need to protect vulnerable groups who rely on targeted support. Implementation issues include eligibility, payment delivery, and maintaining broad political legitimacy by making the benefit universal rather than stigmatized. Yang frames universality as a design choice that reduces bureaucracy, increases take-up, and helps prevent the program from being politically isolated. He also discusses potential inflation concerns and argues that increased demand would be distributed and met by existing capacity in many markets, while housing and healthcare may require additional reforms. The topic highlights that the proposal is meant as actionable policy, not just an idealistic concept. Lastly, a new scorecard for progress and a politics that matches reality. Beyond a single policy, the book calls for changing what the country measures and rewards. Yang argues that focusing on GDP, unemployment, and market indices can hide whether people are actually thriving. He advocates for a broader scorecard that tracks well-being, health outcomes, community resilience, and economic security. This shift matters because metrics guide political priorities, budgets, and media narratives. If the nation measures only production and consumption, it may ignore rising stress, family instability, and preventable deaths until the damage is severe. Yang also critiques incentives in the current political economy, where lobbying, corporate influence, and short-term electoral thinking can delay responses to long-term technological disruption. He frames UBI and related reforms as part of a bigger adjustment to a high-tech economy, one that needs policy that is faster, more empirical, and less attached to outdated assumptions about lifelong employment. This topic also emphasizes social cohesion when large groups feel excluded from prosperity. Trust erodes and polarization grows. By proposing a new set of goals and measurements, the book aims to align policy with the realities of modern work and to reduce the sense that people are being left behind by forces they cannot control. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand why many Americans feel economic pressure even when headlines suggest growth, including workers in disrupted industries, students planning careers, community leaders, and policymakers looking for practical frameworks. It will also resonate with anyone curious about automation and the future of work, but tired of abstract tech optimism that skips over families and towns experiencing decline. The main benefit is clarity. Yang connects technological change to everyday outcomes and offers a concrete policy response that is easy to grasp and debate. Even readers who are skeptical of universal basic income can gain a useful lens for evaluating labor market trends, regional inequality, and the limits of retraining as a catch-all solution. Compared to similar books on automation, it stands out for translating the argument into an actionable proposal with funding ideas and political considerations, rather than stopping at diagnosis or dystopian warning. It is worth buying if you want a single, accessible roadmap that blends economics, social impact, and a policy agenda aimed at restoring stability and dignity in a fast-changing economy. It invites readers to think in systems and to imagine a future where prosperity is shared more broadly. If you would like to support Andrew Yang, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.